Good morning. We appreciate the presence of everyone. And if you'll turn in your Bibles this morning to Psalm 134, Psalm 134. It's a very short psalm, but we want to use it as the basis of our lesson this morning. I think there's only one other psalm shorter, just two verses, Psalm 117. Psalm 134 is three verses. But in three short verses, we can learn a lot, hopefully, for our admonition this morning. As you're turning over to Psalm 134, I want us to consider there the statement that is discussed there about God's servants who by night stand in the house of Jehovah. The other day I was doing some reading in the Psalms and was reading this psalm, and that phrase struck me, and I was wondering about that. What is that? Who are these people? Whenever you're reading in your Bible, let me encourage you to take each word and each phrase and think about it as you read it. A lot of times we read quickly through things and just read over things. But slow down in our mind and ask ourselves, what does that mean? What is that talking about? And that'll really benefit and serve us as we read our Bibles, as we study our Bibles. But I was reading this psalm and just obviously read it very quickly. It's only three verses. But my eye caught that statement that by night stand in the house of Jehovah. And I'm thinking, who are these people? What is going on here? And I began to think about that and wonder about that and wanted to learn more about that. And our lesson this morning is the basis of that statement there. It puzzled me. It intrigued me. So I want us to think about who these people are. When I was in high school and college, you probably can identify with this, we could stay up all night, couldn't we? I remember there were times in college we would stay up, we'd be cramming for a test. There was a restaurant down the street there at Florida College, and we'd go down there and we'd be sitting there. Of course, you go down there under the guise of studying, but you don't get much studying done. But you're there 2 a.m., 3 a.m., you know, sitting around the table trying to study. Studying for a test, or maybe trying to get that paper written, or you might just be up all night goofing off. The only time I had to go before the dean of students when I was misbehaving one time was because I was up all night misbehaving, doing some foolish things I shouldn't have been doing. But that was a time when I could stay up all night. Today I'm starting to yawn about 9 p.m. and by the time the evening news is over with, that's it for me. I got to go to bed. Think about staying up all night, 1 a.m., 2 a.m., 3 a.m., in the temple serving the Lord. Think about that for just a minute. We want to talk this morning about the praise of the night watchers. Who are these individuals? Let's read together Psalm 134. Behold, bless ye Jehovah, all ye servants of Jehovah, that by night stand in the house of Jehovah. Lift up your hands to the sanctuary and bless ye Jehovah. Jehovah bless thee out of Zion, even he that made heaven and earth. Who are these servants who by night stand in the house of Jehovah? I want us to think this morning of the dedication of God's people at this time to encourage us in our service this morning. To love God, to love His Word, to be dedicated to serving Him. And we can learn some lessons this morning from these individuals. If you'll notice, first of all, in verse 3, that Jehovah bless thee out of Zion. I think all of us here this morning would recognize the many blessings that come from God. God blesses us daily, He who makes heaven and earth. In return, verses 1 and 2, He wants us to turn around and bless Him, to praise Him in our service and in our worship. And not just here at the building, but throughout the week, throughout the day. In return for His blessings to us, we bless Him in our service. And I want us to think this morning about the importance of being dedicated and devoted to doing that in a world that where many of us around us, even those who claim to be religious, have fallen in their duty and devotion and dedication to the Lord. I want us to learn from these individuals. Who are these individuals? These individuals in verse 1 are the priests and the Levites who were required by God to stay in the temple all night long, every night, without fail. There's not one night that you skip. There's not a night that you skip. The moment that the law went in place, until the law was done away with, which is hundreds and hundreds of years, they were to follow this course. These individuals, brethren, if you'll turn with me to the book of Leviticus, we will learn about them. These individuals were Levites, particularly men of the tribe of Levi, 20 years old and upward, who stood in the temple all throughout the night. Now, they began that when it was the tabernacle. They stood in the tabernacle all night, and then later when Solomon built the temple, they're standing in the temple. That's what's going on here. By the time of Psalm 134, it would be in the temple. There were some things that God required to take place all night long. And there were some men who were put in the charge of that. And they couldn't just simply say, and God's people couldn't simply say, well, we're just going to pass on that one. We're not going to do that one. We'll do a lot of other things. It had to be followed in order to be pleasing to God. One thing was the fire. The fire for the burnt offering had to be kept going all night long. Every day, every night, every day, every night. It could not go out one time. In Leviticus chapter 6, verse 8, and Jehovah spake unto Moses, saying, command Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the law of the burnt offering. The burnt offering shall be on the hearth upon the altar all night until the morning, and the fire of the altar shall be kept burning thereon. 1 a.m., 2 a.m., 3 a.m., somebody has to keep the fire going. Now, those of us who have built campfires and fires know that you can throw a bunch of wood on it and walk away for a little while, but it's going to burn down. Okay? You've got to keep the wood on it. You've got to keep that fire going. Okay? And there's some other things mentioned there, verse 12, and the fire upon the altar shall be kept burning thereon. It shall not go out. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning, and he shall lay the burnt offering in order upon it, and shall burn thereon the fat of the peace offering. Fire shall be kept burning upon the altar continually, third time, it shall not go out. You get the point? Who are those who stand by night? Who are those, Psalm 134, who stand by night in the temple? They would be individuals like this. One thing that had to be burning all night long was the fire for the burnt offering. Now just stop and think about the dedication and devotion of that. It cannot go out one time and be pleasing to God. Turn with me to Leviticus chapter 24. Let's look at a second thing that had to be kept burning all night long. And as we're looking at some of these things, brethren, I want us to be thinking about what God asks of us today. And if you look at the law of Christ and what He asks of us today, would we say in many regards that it's much less than what He asked of the Jews? Has He ever asked us to do anything like this? He asks much less of us today. Here's another thing. In Leviticus chapter 24, verse 1, here's a second thing that had to be kept going all night long. It was the lamp. And Jehovah spake unto Moses, saying, command the children of Israel. It's not an option. It's not a suggestion. It's not what I would really like. It's a commandment. And if you don't do it, you violate God's word, you sin. That they bring unto thee pure olive oil beaten for the light, or the lamp, to cause a lamp to burn continually. Without the veil or outside the veil of the testimony in the tent of meeting, shall Aaron keep it in order from evening to morning before Jehovah continually. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations. He shall keep it in order the lamps upon the pure candlestick before Jehovah continually. The fire had to stay going all night long. The lamp had to stay going all night long. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 8. And the men to do it, especially, were the Levites. Those men who, you don't choose who your parents are. You're born and you find out later, your family and your parents, you don't choose to be a Levite. Here are these young men. They're being born and they realize, you know, I'm of the tribe of Levi. And when I get to be 20 years old, they're going to put me into some service regarding the tabernacle or later the temple. I wonder what that service will be. And you know what? It takes a lot of dedication and commitment growing up to realize that one day you're going to be up at 1 a.m. keeping a fire going. Or 2 a.m., 3 a.m., 4 a.m. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 8. At that time, Jehovah set apart the tribe of Levi to bear the Ark of the Covenant of Jehovah, to stand before Jehovah. That's the same word stand in Psalm 134. It doesn't mean you just stand there. It means to stand ministering, to stand working. You're standing at your appointed place to do that work, and some of it involved all night long. To stand before Jehovah, to minister unto Him, and to bless His name unto this day. It was a part of their work. Now turn with me to 1 Chronicles. Here we're looking at the period of time after the Babylonian captivity. Turn with me to 1 Chronicles chapter 9. The people who returned from the Babylonian captivity, and the temple is rebuilt under Zerubbabel. So now we have Zerubbabel's temple. Okay, Solomon's temple was destroyed in the Babylonian captivity. Zerubbabel comes back. They lay the foundation of the temple. They rebuild the temple. Ezra chapter 3, 4, 5, long in there. Okay, who's going to begin to carry on God's word? In 1 Chronicles chapter 9 and verse 33. And these are the singers, heads of fathers' houses of the Levites. Again, this was a part of their work. Who dwelt in the chambers and were free from other service, for they were employed in their work day and night. These were the heads of the fathers' houses of the Levites throughout the generation. Chief men, these dwelt at Jerusalem. There was work, brethren, that had to be done all night long. Now, turn with me to 1 Chronicles chapter 23. 1 Chronicles chapter 23. Verse 30. David is prescribing the... Now we kind of jump back in history. Now we're back to David in Solomon's temple when we get over to 1 Chronicles 23. David is prescribing the men and the work that they're going to do when Solomon builds the temple. And in 1 Chronicles 23, verse 30, to stand every morning to thank and praise Jehovah, and likewise at even, and to offer all burnt offerings unto Jehovah on the Sabbaths, on the new moons, on the set feasts, in number according to the ordinance concerning them, continually before Jehovah, and that they should keep the charge of the tent of meeting, and the charge of the holy place, and the charge of the sons of Aaron, their brethren, for the service of the house of Jehovah. There was some continual service that had to be done. And notice, if you'll read very carefully verse 31, it's not just the Sabbath, it's not just one day a week. There are other times throughout the year. Brethren, God, He asks us much less. He wants us here on the first day of the week. That's once a week. But He's not required other new moons and feast days and certain other kinds. It's just that one time a week. They had their one time a week. It was called the Sabbath day. And we have our one time a week. But they had all these other things. And it took dedication and devotion. Who are these servants who by night, well, they are very dedicated and devoted people. Now, with anything that God gives us, there's always a tendency to neglect it, isn't it? Turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 29. By the days of Hezekiah, leading up to Hezekiah, this particular law and other laws of God had been neglected. Stop and think about it. Why? Who in their right mind wants to be up at 1 a.m. keeping a fire going? Nobody's going to know. In fact, if you think about it, the morning sacrifice, we're not told what time of the morning it was, but let's just pick 7 a.m. You could get down there at 6 a.m. and get the fire going. It'd be fine. It'd be going by the time of the morning sacrifice. You don't have to keep it going at 1 and 2. You're not even burning anything on it at 1 a.m. So what we find is that it had been neglected and people are not doing things. And by the time of Hezekiah, he's so bothered by this that he offers up a national reform and restoration and reformation. We've got to come back to God's Word. And so he reinstituted and got these people back into doing what they were supposed to do. Because listen, one of the common factors among us as God's people is neglect. We just dropped the ball. We got other things we want to do. Read it. 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 1. 2 Chronicles 29, 1. Hezekiah began to reign when he was 5 and 20 years old, and he reigned 9 and 29 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the eyes of Jehovah, according to all that David his father had done. He, in the first year of his reign, in the first month, opened the doors of the house of Jehovah and repaired them. And he brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered them together into the broad place on the east. And he said unto them, "Hear me, ye Levites. Now sanctify yourselves and sanctify the house of Jehovah, the God of your fathers, and carry forth the filthiness out of the holy place. For our fathers have trespassed." He's talking about the wicked time leading up to his reign. There were those who were doing what was wrong, and they were allowing even filthiness to come into the holy place. "You Levites, sanctify yourselves and sanctify the house of Jehovah, the God of your fathers, and carry forth the filthiness out of the holy place. For our fathers have trespassed and done that which was evil in the sight of Jehovah our God, and have forsaken him." There were things that were supposed to be done, and they just weren't doing it. They were off doing their other things. Neglect. And God and His work and those things have been forsaken. And turned their backs. Verse 7. "Also they have shut up the doors of the porch and put out the lamps and have not burned the incense nor offered burnt offerings in the holy place unto God." I don't want to keep the fire going. I don't want to keep the lamp going. We've got better things to do. Who wants to be up at 2 a.m. keeping all that going? It was wrong. It was sinful. It was turning their back on God. And Hezekiah had enough. And we need men like Hezekiah who will stand up for reform and who will talk about things that need to be talked about and bring God's people back to what needs to happen. Verse 8, "Wherefore the wrath of Jehovah was upon Judah and Jerusalem, and he hath delivered them to be tossed to and fro and to be astonishment and a hissing as you see with your eyes." That's why we're in the problem that we're in, and that's why God is against us, because we have let it go, we've forsaken it. Verse 9, "For lo, our fathers have fallen by the sword, and our sons and our daughters and our wives are in captivity for this." Well, nothing happens to us today when I neglect God. No lightning strikes me, and nobody takes me off into captivity. And so we neglect things today. Nothing ever happens. God doesn't shout at us from heaven, and He doesn't strike us with lightning. So we just keep doing what we're doing. But Hezekiah said, that's why our people are in captivity. The Assyrian captivity had already taken place. And the Babylonian captivity would follow. Verse 10. "Now it is in my heart." That's where it starts. We've got to change our heart about some things. "It is in my heart to make a covenant with Jehovah, the God of Israel, that His fierce anger may turn away from us. My sons, be not now negligent." Underscore that in your Bible. That is one of our biggest challenges, brethren, is negligence. We're not off purposely committing evil and just this bad person around town. It's just our neglect. We're just not doing things. For Jehovah hath chosen you. Now here's our point. Jehovah hath chosen you to stand before him, to minister unto him, and that you should be his ministers and burn incense. Get back to doing what you're supposed to be doing and quit being negligent. And they did. And that's what the rest of the chapter is about, and the chapters that follow this great reform and restoration of Hezekiah. Consider these men, brethren, for just a moment, and consider how we need to be like them. God has not asked us to stay up all night and keep a fire going down here at the church building. But he's asked us to serve him, and he's asked us to do some things that, in compared to the old law, are far less in demand. And yet sometimes we can't even get that done. They had dedication and devotion for their work. They got up each day and stayed all night long with a sense of duty. We're losing that in our country as a whole. I believe we're losing it some in the Lord's church. We are losing a sense of duty. Turn with me to Luke chapter 17. We need to do things. We need to be here each Lord's day to take the Lord's Supper. We don't need to miss. We don't need to miss one for work or for anything else, because we have a duty to God to be here. It's our duty, and that duty is stronger than anything else out in the community and our work and other things. That is our duty, and we're not going to be swayed from that. There are some who will come, and it's almost like they have, well, you ought to be glad I'm here. You ever talk with members of the church like that? You ought to be glad I'm here as much as I am. You ought to be happy, preacher. Wait a minute. No, read the verse. It's our duty to be here. It's our duty to be here. It's our duty to take the Lord's Supper each Lord's Day. It's our duty to give and not skip. Well, some Sundays I just won't give. It's our duty. And we're losing that in our nation and, I believe, among God's people. Look at it. Luke 17. Luke 17. Verse 7. Who is there of you having a servant plowing or keeping sheep that will say unto him when he has come into the field, come straightway and sit down to dinner or meat? And will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup and gird myself and serve me? In other words, servant, you've been out working all day, and when he comes in, you say to him, now fix my meal. Well, that's what you do to a servant, okay? Doth he thank the servant because he did the things that were commanded? Even so you also, when you have done all the things that are commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which is our duty to do. We are servants of Christ. And when he asks us to be here, and he asks us to take, memorialize him in that Lord's Supper, it's our duty. And we're not going to shirk that. And we're not going to slough that off and let somebody else tell us what is going on. We need to have that. And do you know what? We learned that from these men. They stayed up all night out of just a sheer sense of duty. Who gets joy at 1 a.m. putting logs on a fire? Is there some personal joy in that? Well, I got to go get some more olive oil because I kind of like to see the lamp. There's nobody around to see it. All your friends are asleep in bed. Your family, your friends, they're all off in bed somewhere, all cozied up in bed. And you're making a fire at 3 a.m. That is a pure sense of duty and devotion to God. And that's what we need in our life. They didn't get some personal joy. It wasn't a campfire with hot dogs and hamburgers. It wasn't a person. It was... That's just what the law said. Do we have that sense of duty, brethren? The law says it. I'm going to do it. No whys and wherefores and excuse making and him hawing around and this and that. Just do it. Growing up, I'm glad I had a father sometimes that said, I think other of you probably had parents like this. Well, what? No, just do it. Because I told you to do it. We're losing that. They had dedication and devotion. And I'll tell you what, every night without fail to keep that thing, you have to have a network of men who are dedicated and devoted. We're losing that today. You can't do it with just one person. You can't do it with just two people. You have to have a network of men. Who's going to cut the wood? Who's going to stack the wood? Where are you going to put the wood? Who's going to go get the wood? Where are you going to keep the oil? Who's going to make the oil? Who's going to get the oil? You got to have all of that worked out. And it's got to be people who have a sense of duty who will carry that out. And it got done. It got done. Until the days leading up to Hezekiah, when God's people said, well, you know, this is too much. And they forsook the Lord. Then you can see why. I don't want to be up at 2 a.m. keeping a fire going. I got better things to do. I want to be at home sleep. Nobody's going to know if the fire goes out. Who's going to know if the fire goes out? Really? You're up in Bethlehem somewhere. Are you going to know that the fire's out? Now, you're not going to know that. Nobody's going to know. Nobody's going to care. We've got other things to do. And so it was neglected. And Hezekiah said no more. We need that. We need to instill in our children. We've been talking about Mary. Who are we going to marry? We've been talking about that in class. Marry someone who has a sense of duty and devotion to God. Not someone who says, well, I'll do it if I absolutely don't have anything else to do. And that's almost what the local church is becoming sometimes. I'll be there if I just absolutely have nothing else on my plate. Let's look at these men. Turn with me to Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. They had service and sacrifice for others. They had a sense of selflessness. Listen, I don't want to be up at 1 a.m. or 2 a.m. in the morning if, you know, I'm just thinking about myself. I'd rather be sleeping. But you know what? There's some Israelites come 7 a.m. or whenever that morning sacrifice was. You know, there's some Israelites who need to offer up a sin offering. And in order to do that, that fire's got to be going. May not be me, but some of my brethren are going to have to offer up a burnt offering, and that fire's got to be going. Well, who's going to do it? Well, God told me that I'm supposed to do it. And He told me to keep the lamp going. Romans 12, 1. Brethren, he asks much less of us today, and some can't even get it done. He doesn't ask us to stay up here all day and all night. He just asks us to be here on the Lord's Day. Sometime on the Lord's Day. And He asks us, look at Romans 12, it's not just services, it's not just attendance, it's our personal living throughout the week. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service or spiritual service. Sacrifice and service. In order to do that, we have to be selfless. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. We have to put others before us. Paul says, yea, I am offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith. Faith is not, I just believe in Jesus. Faith is a sacrifice and a service. That means I'm going to have to give up something. I'm going to have to stay awake at 1 a.m., 2 a.m., 3 a.m. I'm going to have to be down there when my lot is called. And that's going to require putting God and others first, before me and what I want and how I feel. And we need that in our lives. Do you know that these men, they had a sheer love for God's word? Did God say why to keep the fire going? He never said why. Can you imagine these Levites whose friends are asking them, why in the world are you up at 1, 2, 3 a.m. in the morning keeping a fire going? Why? You know what their response is? That's what God's word says. No, but you don't understand. Why? He never told me why. But that's what God's word says. But surely there's got to be some reason, some motivate. No, he said it and I do it. God tells us things and he doesn't always follow it up with all the whys and the wherefores. You ever wondered about that? If you need a fire going in the morning, just get it started about an hour before. That work. There's all kinds of things in God's word. Why use gopher wood? He didn't tell Noah. He just said use it. And things involving becoming a Christian and things involving remaining faithful as a Christian. He just tells us. But today it's all about, well, I need to have some more reason other than just, you know, telling us. It was sheer love for God and his word. And the last verse of Psalm 134 says that God would bless us who made heaven and earth. There's your why. He's the creator of the universe. There's your why. He just said it. He's the creator of the universe, and I'm going to do it. And no man, no boss, no family member is going to change any of that. I'm just going to do what God says to do. I love God and I keep his commandments. John 14, 15, verse 21. 15:10, other places. I love God and I keep his commands. But why? I don't need a why. All I need to know is that God is my creator and I love him with all my heart, soul, mind, body, and strength. That's all I need to know. And so I'm going to be up here at 1 a.m. keeping that fire going. We are a spiritual priesthood. As we come to the close of our lesson this morning, we're a spiritual priesthood. We don't offer up physical sacrifices. We don't have a physical fire to keep going or a physical lamp to keep going. But we are God's priesthood today. And the question is, are we devoted and dedicated, or we like the ones who were negligent in the days of Hezekiah? We're not doing what God wants us to be doing. We are to be continual in our praise. Turn with me to the book of Hebrews. There were those who stood continually in the tabernacle and the temple. Hebrews 9, verse 6. These things have thus been prepared. The priests go in continually into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the services continually. Do you know what? I believe in every local congregation that I've ever known, there has always been those who have continually done things. And there have always been those who won't continually do things. But it's always on the shoulders of those who continually do things to have things done. Our service to God is to be continual. Look at Hebrews 13, verse 15. Through then, let us offer up a sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of lips which make confession to his name. We need to go to sleep at night, but our attitude needs to be that we're constantly serving God. We are to serve God day and night. Consider the prophetess Anna. Turn with me to Luke 2. Brethren, God asks us today much less of what he asked of his people in the Old Testament. And still, brethren can't get it done. He doesn't. He asked us to be here on the Lord's Day, and we choose day services. We don't even choose a 1 a.m. service or a 2 a.m. or 3 a.m. It's at middle of the day. Well, I can't make that. Look at Anna. Somebody says, well, I can see where if I was a Levite, I'd have to be up there all night. But I'll tell you what, if I wasn't, I wouldn't be. Well, look at Anna here. She's a prophetess. She wasn't required by law to be there day and night, and yet she was. Look at her devotion. Luke 2, with regard to the birth of Christ, and there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She wasn't even from Levi. She wasn't required to be up there all day and night, but she loved the Lord. She was of great age. Well, I don't feel good. This was an elderly lady who no doubt had her aches and pains. Having lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity, and she had been a widow even unto 84 years, 84 years old, who departed not from the temple, worshiping with fastings and supplications night and day. And if an 84-year-old woman can do it, surely we can be here. And we can serve God and do the things that we need to do. In Revelation chapter 4 and 8, the angelic beings around the throne are serving God day and night. In Revelation 7:15, the saints of all time, the righteous of all time, will be in heaven worshiping God day and night. It'll be a continual service. God is looking for those who are dedicated and devoted to serving Him. In this life, they'll be the ones who do it in the next life. We don't ever stop serving God. Turn with me to Psalm 92, verse 1. We don't ever stop serving God. And brethren, with the things that God has asked us to do that are far less in requirement to the old law, can we show some dedication and devotion to doing them? I hope that our lesson this morning has encouraged us to show dedication and devotion to what God wants us to do. We know what it is. We just need not neglect it. In Psalm 92, verse 1, it is a good thing to give thanks unto Jehovah and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. Psalm 119, turn with me there. And some of that was done with the Levites literally, literally all night long. Psalm 119, verse 147. I anticipated the dawning of the morning and cried, I hoped in thy words. I can't wait to get up in the morning. Your word is the first thing that I think about. Is that true with us? Mine eyes anticipated the night watches that I might meditate on thy word. Even if I were up all night, would I be spending it meditating on God's word? We need to have dedication and devotion to God. There's work in the Lord's church. Let's not neglect it. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. As members of this body here at Memorial Boulevard, there are things, there are duty. We have a duty roster there in the back. I think there's still some more blanks that could be filled in. We have work that needs to be done. Let us be diligent in that. We have work in our home. Workers at home, the mothers, of course the fathers too. We have work that needs to be done at home. Things that have to be taken care of with our children and with our families. Let's not neglect that. And you know what? There's work inside our own hearts. Paul said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. There may be some things that we need to get back to work on with our own relationship with God. But I love it. These night watchers, man alive, these men are a great example for us. You don't see any complaining and no whining and nothing like that. They're just keeping a fire going. They're keeping a lamp going because God said to. And we have much less involved in our Christianity, I believe, in many ways than that. Let's learn from that and do what we need to do. Do what we need to do. Can you imagine if Christ had added to what we already have? Every member of the church has to take a turn being up here at 1 a.m., 2 a.m. to do something. How much more of a challenge that would be for some people. But I hope that everyone here would be dedicated and devoted to do it. Even though I would be terrible at 1, 2 a.m. today, I would need to do it. And I hope that I would have enough love for God to do it if He called upon me to do it. I used to be a night person, but not anymore. But I would need to do it. But He doesn't even ask us to do those kinds of things. Let's do what He does ask us to do, and let's be diligent in that. Let's have a sense of duty. Let's get back to a sense of sacrifice and service, and let's have a love and a loyalty for God's word over anything else that may be in our lives. If we can assist you and help you to respond to the gospel, maybe you can start that love and loyalty this morning by coming and obeying for the first time. Maybe you need to repent and be baptized. Or if there's a child of God who's waned in their service to God and wants to come back and let that be made known, we can assist you and pray for you and help you in that as well. Why won't you come if you have any needs as we stand and sing?